Hello, everyone. Welcome to Caffeine Co-op. My name is Zach.
And I'm Brandon.
Guess who's back? Back again. Bean Boy's
Brew
back.
Brew Boy's back.
Tell your friends.
Tell our friends.
For We're one still time back. Only, the Bean Boys are back in your Caffeine Co-op space.
Oh, yeah.
This is your garbage video game podcast, for anyone who doesn't know. First of all,
we got our first of all in the first minute. Jot it down, folks.
Jot that down.
They love it.
Bingo cards.
They love it.
I'm going to shout out our good friend Adam, who just had a fantastic wedding.
Yeah.
I was very ecstatic to be invited to and be a part of. Beautiful wedding. Congrats to Adam and Alex.
Amazing.
But that being said, he's not here, and we're going to talk very vividly about a game that was featured in his wedding ceremony. In the reception, not the ceremony. I don't think.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know. The priest said a lot of things that went over my head at some point. Made some direct eye contact.
I kind of blacked out. I will admit, I was a little worried going into the church. I thought I was going to catch on fire almost as soon as I walked in. Luckily, it was only a little bit. I only got a little bit of stigmata.
Your hair and beard absorbed the heat.
Yeah, it just makes me stronger.
It did a quick one frame of some Hades level shit, and then it just reverted back to hair. But no, just thank you, Adam. Great time. We're gonna talk some Zelda.
Hell yeah.
And you know,
hell yeah.
To the regular listeners, if you're still out there, we might have to text people that this exists.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make this promise to you that I have not discussed with Brandon, which is classic. Did not ask Brandon permission to say this, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say this.
Go ahead. Drop it.
Starting September 1st, when this episode drops, Caffeine Co-op is back at least once a month with an episode on the first of every month.
We're so back.
So back. First of
We're
every
so
month.
Back. Yeah.
Four episodes in between, possibly, but guaranteeing that first of the month.
Special episodes? Commentaries? Probably not. We're both really busy. Gotta be honest.
Look. You
we'll
know
figure something out.
To do, you know, maybe your rents do, and you're like, holy shit, what the nothing good's happening today. Caffeine Co-op.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Did you get paid, like, but you lost it immediately to your bills? Caffeine Co-op is here to bother you.
You lose your house because of gambling? Caffeine Co-op is here to ease the wounds.
Oh, it is? I mean, I don't need that.
I mean, okay. Only a little bit.
Maybe just actually. Excuse me. I haven't gambled since the Eagles lost the Super Bowl. Thank
the
you
World Series.
Much.
Oh my God! That's why they lost.
The
they were at the wrong stadium.
They're
playing the wrong game.
I was thinking Phillies. Ah, you
got Phillies on the brain. Phillies
son of
on the brain.
Quick
I mean, how can you not? Phillies hitting some dingers out here, making a run for these Orioles. Making a run for my team.
How many times are you going to drop the word dingers? I think that's your new.
I love it. I can't stop. Yeah. It's going to be in every game I describe now. It's.
You see those dingers the Phillies are hitting? And you get to specifically go in tomorrow now and be like, anyone see those dingers?
They see.
There was dingers? Five of them.
Oh, man. Count them.
And I also, this is another back to the podcast.
Yes.
Not this episode. Because I'm in a hotel,
okay.
And I just took a shower in my pajamas for Brandon, and Brandon dies only. But future episodes, maybe possibly you too, because that's a thing that
possible.
Not this one.
Out of the questions. Not this one.
Audio only.
I'm very
I'm
sweaty.
Bloated. I've had six pizzas this week. I'm not kidding.
I have insane bedhead and scraggly as hell. We are.
See,
looking
that's not
rough.
Something I drop without Brandon's permission. You can't be like, oh, also the audio only podcast we've done for 2, 3, 4, 8 years. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's now video. It's like, oh, okay. All of a sudden, dressed. All of a sudden, like the hair's
just wrapped though, like a mummy. Yeah.
Oh, I just woke up. This.
That's how it is.
All right.
But Zelda.
I think that's so. I will say, I'm sure it's been actually. I have it right here. I have it right here. Our last episode was June of last year.
September 1940s. Okay, yeah.
So June. I'm pretty sure we've both played games besides Zelda. But if we have time, maybe we'll talk these other games.
I mean, I just sat in a room just waiting for your call. That's basically, honestly, I go into like a charging deck and then just be like, oh, now I'm back for caffeine co-op.
I'd have to do some sleuthing, but we've been talking about Breath of the Wild 2 for eons.
I think since like the beginning of the podcast. I'm not even kidding. Like, it might be like
maybe
the second or third episode we talked about, like, oh, they're probably going to do a Breath of the Wild sequel. And then we got that trailer, and then some stuff happened between like 2017 and like 2023, but awesome. Yeah, now we're here.
Lies.
Yeah, it's sorry. Again, making stuff up on this podcast. It's what we do.
But I'm trying to go through the episode titles and see if any of them just say Breath of the Wild 2.
It should be like an E3 episode, I think.
That's what I see. E3 2019, which was our third ever episode.
Oh wow, 2019? I thought we started. No, oh man, my brain is mush. That makes more sense.
So yeah, we've been doing the podcast for 4 years. That's crazy. Yep. That's crazy. Well, let's keep going.
Tears
of the years. Kingdom.
Right four more off. Years. Four more years.
Oh, forever. Forever, man. Yeah. Forever. Forever and ever.
Tears of the Kingdom, though.
Neither of us have beaten it, correct? Still, nope. Still true? Okay, good. Good. I didn't even bring it on this trip. I know I told you I brought it on the last trip for work,
right,
folks. Not work. Don't worry about it. I work from home for myself doing this. This is my job.
Yeah. Self-funded.
I don't know how many hours I have in Tears of the Kingdom. I always forget that you can do that with Nintendo. Like, check it on your Switch.
It's my favorite. Yeah.
I know. I can't do that online, can I?
Like, on...
Like, check my account? Website?
I think so. I mean, I could also just check for you real quick.
you can check for fire me? Up.
Yeah, so... you didn't know this?
No!
Oh, this is amazing. Okay, so I'm going to show you something
real quick. I don't know if amazing is the word I use.
Terrifying? Invasion of privacy? Maybe. Yes. All the above? But, so what you do is you go up to your profile at the top. You click into that. And what you'd usually do, you'd look at your profile, say, play activity. For me, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, played for 45 hours or more. So, then you go down to your friends list, you click on your friend's profile. Oh, I'll show you. So, friends list, click on your friend's profile, and then it shows you play activity. Like recent stuff. You've been playing. You have 110 hours
in Tears of the Kingdom. That's a lie.
Serious. That's what it's. I wonder if I can like. I get this as close as possible.
What?
For you to see it.
I see it.
Yeah. What? 110. That's a spicy number. What?
That's gonna go very heavily into my conversation because I will say. So like going into Tears of the Kingdom. I think the first thing I have to say, great game. Just great game. Clearly, 110 hours into the game. Although I haven't saved. Oh, my phone's over there. Maybe I'll get it later. But I will say, I absolutely hated. What was the what was the Middle Earth game? Not actually Middle Earth. Elder Scrolls style, or not Elder Scrolls style.
Elden Ring.
That's the one. Jesus, they're all the same. I think I probably have over 100 hours in Elden Ring, and I hate that game. Like, that game, that was literally pure stubbornness trying to play and beat that game. And then I finally quit. I quit on here. I'm pretty proud of that quit still. Like, I got to the point where I was just like, there is no joy, and I just have to stop playing this. It is purely spite. I am trying to win.
Remember that journey? It sounded like a descent into madness for you. It was just like every few days I get a text, and you just be like, I hate this fucking game. This game sucks. It's just over and over again, and it. Yep. I felt bad because I've been in that position before, and I respect it. But I'm glad you're free of it, and you're off to the crying kingdom of Zelda. It's so much better.
You know what? Speaking of that, though, by the way, I was convinced for the longest fucking time that the game was actually titled Tears of the Kingdom. And it was like there was a translation error. I literally saw in the trailer the ground get ripped in. I'm like, the ground is getting torn apart. Yes. It's tears of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And like there is, I mean, if you play the game, there are tears involved in the game.
Everyone's crying their ass.
I still stand by. It could have been. You don't know.
Yeah.
You know, Japan. Yeah. There's constantly translation errors.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All the time.
Anyway, the point of me bringing up Elden Ring, fuck that game, is that this was a genuine, like, I like playing Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
However, it hasn't been the most purely blissful experience. I distinctly remember talking to you about Breath of the Wild, and I think it was a text. I was like, dude, I just spent 2 hours climbing the dual peaks, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I was, like, fucking having a ball. Like, grand old time.
Honestly, one of my favorite texts is from you when you got it for the Wii U, which is a weird thing to say back then. But I remember you mentioned you're like, I spent 2 hours just paragliding everywhere. And it's one of my favorite texts I've ever gotten. Like, yeah, that rules.
The gameplay in Breath of the Wild was so, it was just so perfect. It was just, everything was just so, the exploring at like free will. Like, everything was just perfectly done. Tears of the Kingdom has all that, which makes it just as good, but then there's all this new stuff on it.
Yeah.
And I by no means am saying bad things about the new stuff.
Yeah.
But I think with my 110 hours of apparent gameplay, combined with the fact that I've only done 3 temples of the 4 main temples, it's proof that, like, this game has too much for me. Like,
that's interesting.
It's very,
I like that. Yeah.
It's overwhelming to a point that can be not enjoyable at times. And I've definitely had to take breaks, which is crazy to say that. And no, again, 110 hours. But like, there has been like a week where I was just like, I can't play Tears of the Kingdom. My mind's gonna fucking melt. It's and then you see people on TikTok and Instagram and stuff, and it's like, oh, the Batmobile in Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. It's like, I
made a fucking X-Wing.
Hot air balloon to go up. Like,
the amount of times I've just stared at a puzzle and be like, what the fuck do you want me to do here? And just like, just fucked off out of there. I'm just like, never mind. I don't want to do any of these shrines. I'm good right now. I'll find something else to do.
I saw someone on YouTube in like a short, which I hate YouTube shorts. Hate them.
They're bad.
But I still watch them. And I saw someone in a short. They showed that you can complete any shrine puzzle that involves the like impact sensor. You can complete any of them with bomb arrows. And I saw that, and I have immediately like just. It's essentially disrespected the game at this point. Like I basically keep a stock of bomb arrows just in case that's in a shrine. I'm like, puzzled.
Yeah.
But no, it's a very large game with all this new gameplay elements. But that said, and the thing I've said to Brandon off screen, which I'm ecstatic to talk about here, is I think the story of Tears of the Kingdom is leagues above Breath of the Wild. Like,
oh wow,
so good. Because like Breath of the Wild is your classic Zelda story, and in the first ever open world Zelda game. Well, 3D, because technically you could say the first Zelda game was open world. That was what I made. But like, it's just one of those things where no one didn't like the story of Breath of the Wild, but it was Zelda, you know, like it was a Zelda game. Tears of the Kingdom has some frickin' canon that is like wild, and I think I've told you this before, but like it truly doesn't work with the reincarnation every game's canon thing.
Yeah,
and it makes me like it more.
Yeah, right. It's fucking awesome.
It's like, I love the fact that everything.
Nintendo was like, oh, if this is a cycle, it happens over and over again. These are the characters, Zelda, Link, Ganon, and then they roll on with Tears of the Kingdom. They're like, fuck that. This is the new shit. They're just going hog wild on it. It's awesome. I fucking love, like, I think that's, I'm going to make a comparison here, and come at me if you want. I don't care. I can't take it, but it reminds me, it reminds me of, in the same way of The Last Jedi for Star Wars, where it's like, all right, let's have this going, and then let's break it in a way that is like what you think, not even like what you think is going to happen, but just all these conventions and ideas, and it's just like, let's just, like, Breath of the Wild is The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Tears of the Kingdom, where it just, it kind of takes everything you would know and just be like, all right, let's just break off from there and do not something completely different, but like, how do we fuck with the canon and kind of use this in a way that is commenting on the idea of a Zelda game?
That's pretty wild. And I can't I can't disagree with that, even though I am not on the same side as you for Last Jedi.
I get that.
Which is really funny, because I'm also on the other side when it comes to, we just texted about Legend of Korra does this. Legend of Korra, I guess,
okay.
If you haven't seen, like, I mean, I'm spoilers, like, fuck off. Like, yeah, Legend of Korra is like a decade old. Let's go.
I think it is, yeah.
But there's the part still where they officially cut her ties with the Avatars.
Yes.
And I fucking hate that. But you texted that you liked it, right?
Yeah, and I do. I love that.
It's funny, because I think it just depends. Like, you know what it is. You know what it is. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be honest. I am very much a fresh Zelda fan. I am Breath of the Wild was my first enjoyable game, but I loved it. And, like, I'm all here for it so far. So telling me Tears of the Kingdom just kind of washes things, I'm like, great. I don't fucking care.
I don't have to care about anything else. Yeah, it's like, it is a great feeling. Yeah.
If Kingdom Hearts 4 came out, and they were like, fuck every game you've played for the past 15 years, I might go hunt that's down Nomura at Square Enix.
Yeah, that's a really interesting... I like that, because I think that's, like... I know you're joking. We're going to put that after that. He's definitely joking.
Hunt him down for hugs? Hugs?
Yeah.
I didn't say what he was going to do. Yeah. I didn't.
If you say you're joking, it's all satire.
Exactly.
But we'll find
it. Whatever you think might happen, might happen.
Just don't fuck it up. That's what we're saying. Just don't fuck it up. And we won't have to hunt you down and give you lots of hugs to death.
Hugs and kisses.
With chocolate. It's just how it is. I think that's a really good waypoint, though, because I think, like, if Kingdom Hearts 4... if Kingdom Hearts 4 was, like, played, like, GTA, then... honestly, the more I think about this idea, the more I like it. If, like, it played and felt like GTA...
See, you can mess with gameplay. I don't give a shit about that at all. That's why people hate Kingdom Hearts 3, and I'm here for it. I'm like, no, I didn't need Kingdom Hearts 2 again. Fuck off. We had Kingdom Hearts 2.
Okay. I need a side street.
Do we though? Do you actually want to talk about Kingdom Hearts?
I need like a 1 minute shortcut. How different is the gameplay from Kingdom Hearts 2 to 3?
Not nearly as different as people make it claim to be. But there is like it's the fact that it wasn't exactly the same and people are talking shit. And it's just what people do, you know. But that's also see, with video games though, to try and bring us back. With video games, I am all for experimental gameplay. Because if you have a series, in my opinion, the exact same thing over and over again with new story is repetitive, and you should just make a movie. Like, I'll enjoy it. I mean, let's be honest, that's Assassin's Creed for like ever. But like,
I love that.
That's probably like, there's probably a flag that you should stop doing what you're doing. But like, so Kingdom Hearts, good example. Like, Three is different from two, not so much that people can't play it, but it's different enough it's not the same. I like that. I like that they tried something different.
Yeah.
And again, Tears of the Kingdom, I respect the gameplay elements they added because I do think it changes it enough that warrants a game. Like,
yes. Yeah.
I mean,
that's a really good way to put it, because from the research I've done, it was basically, this was born out of, they were working on a DLC expansion and they were like, no, this is like, this is way too much. We got to do a full game, which makes sense. I think that that's an awesome way to look at it, where I think there are times where you have the opposite, where it's just like a very, like, it's, you will have a sequel, but it's such little improvement or expansion on the original ideas, and it feels like, all right, come on. But I do appreciate the fact that this is like taking so much of Breath of the Wild and still feels fresh and weird and different in a way that is really exciting and like just crazy. The fact that, the best way to put it, they did it again. Like, they like, they already had Breath of the Wild in the fucking can, and then they're like, we're doing it to you once again. And that rules.
All right, so I said I've done three temples. I did the Wind Temple. Is it? No. I did the birds. Is that the Wind Temple or is it a Blizzard Temple?
I think Wind or Air.
Because it's like a blizzard's happening, but I think it's the Wizard Temple or the Wizard Temple.
Like
the Wind Temple.
I want to go there.
I did the Fire Temple last recently, and then the Water Temple in between.
Okay.
And you are where on your temples?
So I started there. With the Fire Temple.
The temples there.
Right here, right in Philadelphia, about North Philly. So I started with the Fire Temple, and that was like maybe a bad...
Madman. That is easily the hardest one of the three I've done.
That's how I do it. It's just like one of those things where I think I was just like wandering around at first in Tears of the Kingdom and just like... Because I was so overwhelmed with everything that was going on. I was like, what's happening? And just kind of like trying to figure out, get some kind of grasp on things. But it was definitely like... I think I somehow... Because I think I just kept eating food to restore my health, so I didn't die from all the heat. From the fire, in the Fire Temple area. And that was, it was good. I like the ability you got from that. I won't say, in case people are listening, I don't think it's a very spoiler thing, but it's fun finding each of the abilities you get from the temple so far.
Yeah.
That one was fun. I really like what that introduced. It was like, there's some good puzzles to that. That was good. And then I went to the Air Temple, which I really liked. That one's my favorite of the two so far, which I know is one of two.
In terms of, I really like all. Like, I kind of have
No, they're solid.
You haven't done the Water Temple yet, right?
I have not. No.
I think the Water Temple is my favorite, which is hilarious because it's, you know, the Water Temple.
Really? That's that's so notorious in Zelda games as, like, so the one in Ocarina of Time is the one people are always like, that's where I got stuck, that's where I stopped, all that kind of stuff. That's so cool to hear, though.
It has a pretty awesome boss. It's a challenging boss, but it works. Like, it makes sense, and when played correctly, is very doable. The mechanics in the Water Temple are okay, not great, but not bad. Okay. And overall, I just think the story is the best one in the Water Temple. I kind of not hated, but the story for the Fire Temple was kind of too...
That kind of sucked. I didn't like it.
Too much. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like... I don't know. There was something about
Dude was fucking annoying.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm so glad you said that. That dude sucked. I was like, fuck you, man. Can I just like fucking slice his head off and we can just be done with this? Like, that would be I'd be a terrible
part
link.
About the Fire Temple was that I'm gonna go minor spoilers. Fuck off.
Yeah. That's fine.
I The coolest part about the Fire Temple is definitely that they set you up to fight an ally. I won't say who, because I'll be there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, you...
Yeah, I just got distracted for a second.
Oh, yeah. But like, I think that's cool to have that happen in a Zelda game. Like, that was pretty neat. But, like, the story of that dude was, like, just so annoying. I just didn't... It was very poor. As opposed to, I will say, I started... I don't know what temple. I'm guessing it's going to be lightning. But I started the Gerudo storyline. Yes. And, like...
I'm stuck on there. Yeah.
Very... Oh, okay. Very enjoyable so far, the story with that character. Really like her.
I really like that one a lot. Yeah.
But also, like, quite honestly, like, the stories of the temples have been great. Like, other than the Fire Temple. Like, I really like the Breath of the Wild kid getting teenage years or whatever for the Wind Temple. Like, he's hilarious. I don't want to spoil it. But the Water Temple is just the most fun, like, storyline.
That's awesome. I'm so glad.
Really enjoy it. Yeah. And, like, the one thing I would say for anyone who has not done it yet is the Water Temple is the one where I would talk to every single person you can as many times as possible. Because the story just gets, like, both, like, funnier and cornier and, like, just even better with every single piece of dialogue you get.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's sold me on the Water Temple. It's definitely, I feel like the Fire Temple was, like, fun, but also got real fucking annoying fast, where I was like, everyone here is fucking sucks. They're, like, addicted to the marble rock toast.
Go ahead.
That's the stuff they're just, like chomping on. Looked pretty good. I will say,
like, me with pizza,
me with Taco Bell. It's definitely, it's all in line with that. I do love the fact that someone had a joke on Twitter. I'm going to find who it was, but they were like, they wanted to make a Fantastic Four story where an alien hunter wants to kidnap the thing because they want to see the juicy meat that's underneath his rock skin. And someone posted the marbled rock toast, and I was like, that's fucking perfect.
Things' thighs.
Yeah. Yeah, big old hawk and gams. Yeah. Yeah,
I will say, for as annoying as that story is, did kind of make those rocks look a little tasty. A little bit.
They look great.
A little tasty looking.
They would have gotten me. Yeah, I'm just saying.
So I would have. I gotta ask you a follow-up that's kind of... How are you on your... I will say this.
Yeah.
How did Zelda's interaction in the Fire Temple go for you?
I'm trying to...
When I say go for you, like, how did you react to all that stuff?
That was definitely...
And that being your first temple, that's really why I'm asking.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I guess I might have been a little spoiled, because it was definitely, I will say, I didn't fall for it. It was definitely one of those things where I was like, so to explain a little bit of context for listeners, there's minor spoilers, but my experience, I'll just tell them. When I got to the Fire Temple, there's a bit where you see what you think is Princess Zelda, but she's kind of leading you, like, farther into the Fire Temple, but in this way that is, she's, like, they keep talking about how, like, oh, she's doing, like, weird stuff. It's kind of this feeling of, like, oh, is she, like, she bad now? It's definitely one of those things where I felt, it was, like, there were so many times where they were just, like, huh? Princess Zelda?
It was
like fucking every time. Yeah, that got me. And I remember just like rubbing my temples being like, oh my god, shut the fuck up. Like, it's not her, you dumb assholes. It's just me like being so like ungodly annoyed with those characters to that point.
It wasn't even like, it was just the fact that they repeatedly said the same thing. It was like, you could just make the comment once. You didn't have to like...
Yeah.
Goron A, did you see Princess Zelda? Goron B, yes. I did see Princess Zelda, and she followed the monster. Goron C, she followed the monster. Did she follow the monster? Why would she do that? It's like, Jesus Christ. I also saw her follow the monster.
Yeah. And I'm not a fucking idiot. That's why I didn't fall for it. It's just like, God, I'd be such a piece of shit Link. I would just be like, just constantly being like, God.
Dirtbag Link.
Yeah, Dirtbag Link is making an impression in this game. Let me tell you.
Ever since Dirtbag Link, which you have to fully explain.
I don't think we've talked about.
No, you have to fully explain. Yeah. But ever since we've discussed Dirtbag Link, I refuse to play as any other. Helmet? Sure. Pants? Sure. The cutoff is the only thing my
cutoff is the best. Yeah, it's such a good look. Yeah, it's so to give listeners context for what Dirtbag Link is, it started in Breath of the Wild where there's a very particular outfit you can wear that is that makes you better at climbing, where it's like a blue cutoff t-shirt with like a Hyrule emblem on the front. Basically makes Link look like he's heading to the gym. Like he is gonna put some numbers up on that scoreboard for them reps. My favorite though is that the way it makes him look is just like maybe the biggest dirtbag I've ever seen. Like he looks and especially the way I would play him in Breath of the Wild is that like he's supposed to be this noble, you know, this knight who stands for honor, for justice, bringing peace to the land. The way I played him was just running in there like a fucking maniac, dropping bombs and just slicing people apart, and then just like fucking hightailing it out of there as soon as I was outnumbered. Just the biggest dirtbag, just like
hitting on every single woman he sees in the 100%. Town or guy, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever
he hits on everyone.
Yeah,
he does his pompous like stance his with hands, his chest held out with the cutoff though, and it's just like, it's like like all the interactions of him with what's her name, the chick that has the birthmark that she gets, what's it called, like every time that she brings it up. In the first one, she's like the granddaughter or whatever of the town elder.
Oh,
I don't know. She has a crush on
I know who you're talking about. Yes.
It's like she talks about it or something. Or she's like, oh, maybe he noticed me. I just love the idea of like Dirtbag Link showing up being like, oh, that's right. Oh, wait, psych, I don't care. And then leaves.
What's up, babe? Yeah. He's just hightailing out there. It made it even worse when I finally got the DLC for Breath of the Wild. It was solid. It was definitely, I got it to kind of hold me over until Tears of the Kingdom, and it was fun because I mostly just wanted to get the motorcycle,
the bike,
which made him even more of a dirtbag. It was just the most like this dude sucks. Like if you saw him in real life, he'd be like, "Fuck that guy." But more so, I love the fact that even more so now, I think it's better with the Zonai devices. Crafting those and just putting like 9 fans on this same vehicle and just like riding around like a goddamn maniac it makes him into a menace. He is just like a tearing across the sky, and like he is supposed to be noble, all this kind of stuff. No, he is launching people off ledges, all this kind of stuff. It is bad. It is but amazing at the same time.
Very. I don't remember what brought Dirtbag Link up, but I'm glad we got Dirtbag Link up and out there. I actually haven't spoiled this game, which is crazy considering how long it's been out by now. So I especially don't want to spoil anything that you don't know, but how is your tears going so far? The Dragon Tears or whatever they're called.
Oh, I have not done this. I think I did like one, and then I completely forgot. It was basically the best way to describe it is I am the Joker in The Dark Knight, where I'm like, I'm just a dog chasing cars. I don't have a plan. I see something in the distance, and I'm like, I'm either gonna kill it, or I'm gonna take it over. no in between for this shit. And it's sometimes it's great. Sometimes it works out really well because I think it just it's made me a better player because I understand more about the world. At the same time, it also can backfire me because at a certain point I was king shit. I was just like, man, nothing can touch me. I went into the depths. I got fucking cooked immediately.
Okay, like, I want to talk about the depths.
It wasn't even like a contest. Yeah.
Before I get to the depths, though, I do want to say, so you haven't done them, so I won't spoil anything. But the dragon. I forget if it's Tears of the Dragon or Dragon Tears or something. I forget what.
I think it's Tears of the Dragon. Yeah.
Whatever the old lady calls them.
yeah.
I did all those, and I gotta say, so the tears of the tears in this game act as like the memories in Breath of the Wild.
Right.
And if you have or haven't finished that, in Breath of the Wild, there's these memories, they're optional, but if you get all of them, you essentially find out how and why Zelda was put into her comatose stase for the 100 years.
Right.
It's very, like, it's cool. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. So this is what happened to her. But it's, again, very textbook Zelda, like the textbook game Zelda. Like, it's like, okay, so, you know, 100%. She was training, which is a little out of ordinary because she's not just doing princess shit. She's like, magic training, but like the end of it is, you know, she sacrifices herself to protect the kingdom and suspend Ganon for 100 years. And it's like, okay, yeah, like obviously, but like that's cool to see, and I'm glad we saw it. The tears, I finished that shit, and I was like out of my seat in shock at the story.
Oh my god, really?
Valerie was next to me, watching me play. And she was like, how did we not spoil this? I was like, I don't know. Like, that was insane. And it is, like, a really cool plot element. And I didn't see it coming, didn't predict it at all, didn't spoil it, thank God. And it was very cool. And it kind of, the impact it has on the game as a whole, like, it's almost, I don't understand how the game's going to end if you didn't finish the tears. Huh. Like, it's that important of a story.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's very important to the story. So I'm very curious how the rest of the game goes, how it plays out. I'm so genuine. Like, look, what's going to happen at the end of Tears of the Kingdom? You're going to fight Ganon.
Yes.
Okay, like, obviously. But, like, why is essentially... Like, I have actually gotten to the point in Tears of the Kingdom where the story has me so fucking invested as to why does Link fight Ganondorf. Like, it's...
Oh, wow,
it's,
I like
it's
that. Yeah.
Insane. And, like, what happens next is insane. And I am... I am... Again, I don't know how you fear... Like... I just don't. This story is wild, and the tears storyline itself, its own little thing. I'm still jaw dropping shock at that move. It was awesome.
That's so exciting to me because I feel like, so. I've been really interested because I know you said something along those lines, before I started the game. It was like one of those things where, when I was in the temples, I was like, yeah, this is good, but like. The way you had talked about it was like, Breath of the Wild storytelling was good, but Tears of the Kingdom is next level. And there's a lot of stuff that, there was like a very particular thing, and we haven't talked about it, but it's like, just the way you described it was like, in terms of their storytelling was just so much more nuanced or like, really different than you'd expect. And it was one of those things where I've been doing the temples, and I was like, yeah, this is good, but... I hadn't seen what you're talking about, but knowing that, okay, that I'm fucking locked in. I'm so excited now.
And I think that might be why, like the tears aren't the most exciting gameplay. You know, you get to a tower, you go to the air, and you find the nearest tear, and you find it. It's like the memory, like, except you can see it from the sky, so it's easier even. Like,
right.
But the theater, like the storyline of tears, is. Yeah. Is insane. And like, so do you remember, you said you saw the first one, do you remember anything from it, so I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to spoil a thing. But like the storyline of the tears is just it's interesting from start to finish. So much so that like stuff is missing canonically, and I'm like biting at the bits, like chomping at the bits, trying to figure out what I'm missing and how to get it. And it's so. And it's funny you say that because, like, it is – and that – I finished all the tiers before I started the second temple.
Okay.
Like
– I might do that. I'm – like, I might pivot because I'm stuck at the Gerudo temple right now. Fucking – I don't – there's, like – I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm, like, so fucking – I'm, like, I don't know. There's a bunch of – there. It's, like – that's the only one I feel legitimately stuck at, and I'm, like, not sure what to do now. So I might – I might pivot – do the Tears of the Kingdom or Tears of the Dragon stuff now instead.
It's just funny because like the story of the temples is fun, right? Yeah. Like it's fun.
It's solid.
But like the Tears of the Dragon are great and so much so that it makes some of the things I've seen in the temple better. Like it gives you a little more context to other things. It doesn't answer things though. Like it's not full. Like I'm still out, like I said, I'm still on the outs on some things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck do I have to do to figure out what's going on? It's so much so that I'm not convinced it wraps up at the end of the game. Like I don't know anything about the ending.
Right. Yeah.
But I just can't like I can't see it ending in a certain way.
Huh. That's nuts. Holy shit.
I'm
I love that. That's really exciting to me.
Do the tears.
Like you've sold me on a game I already own
and you're already playing
to play. It's very much like, all right, I'm good. But no, this is like because I think it's something where we had talked a little bit about this with Breath of the Wild, and it was something I really like that they did, and it's something like I wanted to expand upon. Was in Breath of the Wild, one of my favorite storytelling aspects was how they really focused on Link being a silent protagonist.
Yeah.
And something I really, really loved in, especially in Breath of the Wild, when you're doing the memories, when you would encounter him, and Link would like have this moment where you'd flash back, and it was very simple, but really effective, like how they... it would cut back to his face and he would just be kind of like staying there, just kind of like it, his expression didn't really change. It was just kind of this like, like he kind of, but you can tell he absorbed that information and was like, he didn't outwardly show he was affected by it, but it was like, oh wow. Like he's discovering his own memories and like what's happening, what happened while he was gone. And there's such a somber aspect to that. I'm just like, yeah, the world kept marching on when you're gone, like it's right. And it's a very like it's a very intense way of kind of like I think especially for a Nintendo game is like the world will continue after you're gone. That's a very like I think it's a really cool like aspect to have in the game, knowing all of that and then having them explore more of that on top of that in this game is just really exciting to me. And then having like everything with the Tears of the Dragon I think is going to be seems awesome.
I will say, it's funny. What were you gonna say?
No, I was pretty much done.
Yeah. So I will say, like, one of the kind of ironically to what you just said, because I know I totally agreed with you on silent protagonist Link in Breath of the Wild. Like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
However, and I forget if I talked to you or Val about this or both, but I do think it kind of doesn't work for Tears of the Kingdom. I think it's
I like that.
Fine, but again, I think the story of Tears of the Kingdom, everything, not just the Tears of the Dragon stuff, but like, like I think the idea is like, okay, so Breath of the Wild is this man literally waking up and discovering who he is. The silent protagonist thing works, and of course, because of that, you're gonna use the silent protagonist in the sequel. But like, let's Dirtbag Link for an example, like just a fun, stupid example. But like you played as Dirtbag Link the whole first game, right?
Yeah.
So in the second game, like you already have this personality in your head, Like he, yeah. And it's been literal years in the game, like since the first game. And
right.
It's like, so Link doesn't lose his memories or anything. So like at this point he has a personality, like,
yeah,
it might not be the one, like I might have a different personality for Link than you do, but he's got a personality. And that's right. Definitely what they're trying to do is like, oh, the personality you think is the one he has. But it right. just, I think it almost needs more direction for him. Like, just give him, like, an established character for what the story is. Because so much,
right.
I honestly think it's because so much feels like it's relying on him in the story that he needs to react to it.
Right. I like that. Yeah.
It's just kind of an observation, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And I'm really excited to kind of see like how they use that in this game, especially. Like, I don't know. I think, like, and then if they, because it's a good way to think about it, where it's like, I think it's such a defining aspect of the character. I've also been thinking about, like, if they were to take this into movies, it'd be Chris Pratt who would voice him. I was trying to figure out some way to transition to that, but I love the idea of like Link being like, God. So they have said it's not actually happening that Illumination is making a Zelda movie, because thank God. I don't know if I can take Here We Go Again as Ganondorf is like smashing through the castle or something like that.
But I think in an absolutely like non-ironic way, that shit would rock. Like,
that would be awesome. Honestly, the more I thought about it,
you're like, all right, it kind of rolled.
Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal is Ganondorf. Wait. All right, I'm back in. Yeah, never mind. That's pretty good. Just have him just go crazy in the voice booth.
And to be honest, my opinion on that is more of the lines of like, look, they're never going to make the edgy live action Zelda game we as adults want. So just let them illuminate the shit out of it. I don't care.
It's one of those things where I'm like, no, that's fine. It's like, I'm not precious about, I'm not precious about the Mario Brothers movie, because it's definitely one of those things where I was like, it's pretty goofy, but it's something. I think the same thing with Zelda, where it's like, that's fine. Like, it's its own thing. It's its own movie. It's, we've had adaptations of video games over the years. Nothing really touches Mortal Kombat 1995, so I don't know. What else are we supposed to do?
I don't know.
Speaking of, at some point, this is kind of a teaser for the audience.
Tickle the ball.
Zach asked me to explain to him, I think a few months ago, what is up with Mortal Kombat 1?
What are we doing? What are we doing?
So
I think we leave it as a tease, though. I think we leave it as a tease. Because
I think that might be
at least half an episode is talking that, about.
It's going to be a lot. It's going to be, I'm going to have to like refresh myself just to make sure. But I can't do it off the top of my head. But I will explain to you how we got from Mortal Kombat 1 to Mortal Kombat 1.
I mean, that's some Xbox shit right there.
Yeah, like, that's, yeah, that's some fucking Marvel comics, like, oh, it's a reboot of the same series in same year.
Right, so it's Marvel, like, now, DC, yeah, Rebirth, whatever the hell it. Like, it's some crisis shit. Like, I don't need none of that. I don't need none. No, and but yeah, we'll do it. We'll full. I don't need as much time as you need for that. So that's what we'll fully dedicate. You hit the Mortal Kombat quota. It was mentioned. Next episode, it'll be
got that out of the way. Yeah.
That's
a good teaser. Yeah.
To bring it back to Zelda, you mentioned it. We side tangent the hell out of it. We sidelined it. I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
The depths.
Oh yes. Okay.
How's your experience with the depths?
I don't like them because they're scary as fuck. Everything is so scary all the time. I say that in a good way. Like, this game is amazing. They've done such an amazing job with this game.
The deaths are
scary as hell.
Well done at making something you can go to at any point, in any point of the map. It's very accessible. And then it's like, oh, but also this is way out of your league. Like
every time. Yeah, I thought it was hot shit, and then immediately got just smoked by everyone in there.
It was rough. 15 hearts at this point, and I still get smoked. Like, damn, it's just like...
Yeah, I don't know when I can go down. It's like one of those things where I'm just like, eventually, but I'm good. They can have their, like I'm not playing out the descent in the Zelda game at this point. I'm good. Those creatures can stay down there for all I care. I took down, like, one big monster, and then I was like, I'm good. I'm going to go away for a bit.
And, like, the gloom having an actual, like, gameplay effect like it does. Like, it's pretty... It's very well done. Some of it, like... It's all... It's so well thought out in how it, like, interacts with the gameplay. But, like, it's so difficult to navigate. And it's super... It gets... The depths is honestly, like... Again, I'm not criticizing it in a way that's saying it's bad, but like it gets to a point, like the depths is one of the things that definitely overwhelms me to I need a break point. Because like I'll try to farm materials down there, or I'll try to really that's the only reason I've been down there actually, is just farming the shit out of Zoonite or fire bats or whatever the hell. Yeah. Like, I'll go down to farm and just get lost or hit a wall and you can't find the other corner of the wall. It's right. It gets so overwhelming. And then I'm like, just take me to the sky, just where it's bright, beautiful, and just, like, there might be a dragon up there, but that's fine. They just yell at me from a distance. They don't.
Yeah.
They're like, ah, and you're like, okay, you're like, relax.
All right, I'm not bothering you.
Oh, you're over there.
That's fine. Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Understood.
I don't know. It's good, not great. I definitely get it. I definitely am not saying it's bad, but it's just not for me.
It's definitely one I'm gonna have to come back to it at some point, because it's like I'm gonna have to like really level up, and then that might be the last thing I do in the game, but I'm gonna have to get a lot more hearts and stamina. Like, gonna have to plan it out. Is it, because everything else has been like I will just run to it and figure it out.
You just throw food and weapons at it, like...
Yeah. But I'm gonna have to kind of check and see, like, how to do this.
It's clever, because it doesn't let you throw food and weapons at it. Like, the gloom eats your hearts permanently while you're down there, so it's like, I can't throw food at my problems. I'm out of hearts. Like, it doesn't matter. It's very well done, but like I hate it. Awesome. And no, thank you.
I hate it. It's scary. Everything is awful.
It's very much like that. Like, again, 110 hours. Like, so much of my time has been spent farming materials to upgrade clothes, because I got to a point with shrine hunting where I was like, I don't think I need more hearts. Like I said, I'm at like 14, I think, give or take.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's a lot. Like, you could go Ganon probably with that.
That's solid. Yeah.
But I still don't feel ready when I'm down in the depths. So it's like, okay, the next thought is, let me upgrade armor. So I'm like upgrading my Dirtbag Link armor, of course, to the max. But like, everything. Like, I have some gloom resistant shit. Nice. Trying to max that out to try and get the max amount of gloom resistance. Like, and so that's where all my hours have been going into, is farming and just I just trying to get things together. And I think that's a little bit why at the end of all of this I'm a little overwhelmed, because I keep pulling myself out of the story and doing these things that just take up time.
No, that's a good point. It's definitely it is one of those games. I think it's amazing how much there is, but it's definitely like I have to break it up, because it's one of those things where I'm like, I can't marathon this one, because it's like, I know people who have more respect to him. Yeah, it's amazing. But it's definitely one where I'm like, I'm actually happy I'm having this experience, because it's definitely, it's a good game to have, where I'm like, I'm going to come back to it every few days and then go really hard on it, and then just be like, all right, I got to take it through, like, either I'll hit a wall on something, or I'll just be like, all right, like, I need to change it up. But it's one of those games I'm definitely going to be playing for a long, like, it's going to have a long tail for me, where I'm just going to keep playing it for a while now.
See, I'm investing all this time into it, and I'm going to keep investing into it till I finish it, but I don't see myself replaying this. I definitely think I'm going to get to a point of, like, finish it, I feel great, deed is done, the book is closed, it's on the shelf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for your service, book, game, thing.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's a big honking game.
She's a thick bitch, that's for
sure.
She's,
but I'm gonna say one thing, one more thing. Nintendo, hitting some dingers on this one.
Oh, man, he did it. I, pulls it out of nowhere, folks. He doesn't even mean to it.
George, he did it. Yeah, it's...
Crazy son of a bitch actually did it.
He pulled it off. Yeah! We love it! He said the thing!
He did the thing! He did the thing that's new!
He just came up with the tech, yeah.
I don't really know if I have anything else to add, to be honest. Like, I think my takeaway, and I actually just talked about this the other day, was... Again, like, I overwhelmed myself. So I had to take a break. I'm taking a break. We're good. We're just it's a very, very communal, we both agreed on it kind of break.
Yeah.
And
I'm good.
I'm coming back to it, and I'm coming back to it with the mindset of, I just need to focus on the story, because that's what I want right now. Like, just go finish that fourth temple, see what else is in the way before Ganon, and then just head to the finish line. Because it makes sense why I'm now at this point of overwhelmedness.
I like that. Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, like, I thought I put in a lot of hours with 45, and then you have put in double the amount I have. Like,
Jesus Christ.
Not even kidding. Yeah, that's amazing. I think that is, like, full respect. I'm so happy.
I don't know about that one, Chief.
Oh, come on. No, it's...
That's four and a half full days of my life.
Well spent. What else were you going to do with those things?
Certainly not play Jedi outside? Survivor, which I did get and never played.
Oh.
I think it came out either a few weeks or a month before Tears of the Kingdom. Like, it might have been like a few weeks.
I think it was like a month. Yeah, I think it was like a month. Yeah.
And I bought it. I actually pre-ordered it to play on this laptop I'm streaming from, or Skyping from. And work was just way too intense during that time period. Yeah. And I picked up Tears of the Kingdom day one. And I wasn't going to not play Tears of the Kingdom.
Keeps up. Sorry. In real time, I have to kill a bug in my apartment. Fuck. Oh, god damn it. He's not dead. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. I got to deal with that. He's going to bite my head off. No, it's. But yeah. No, that's
right. Go deal with it.
No, it's. It's fine. It's. Where are you, you fucker? You over there? Yeah, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. but so
I guess
I think that's
any let's do quick dingers of our own. Brandon's quick dingers. I will say I did play FNAF Security Breach Ruin, which was the DLC, free DLC they released this year. Okay. And I beat that.
I'm trying to remember. Okay. The gameplay for that, is that different from the mainline series, and is it more like Security Breach? Is there two different gameplay styles?
It's more in line with security breach, but it is a little different.
Okay.
It's still security breach. Like at the end of the day, it is DLC for security breach. It's very similar. But there is some differences. Gameplay wise, kind of thought it was a little on par, I guess I would say. Not terribly worse, not better. Yeah. No glitches this time, which was great. I will just say the story is more what I had hoped for from the original game. Like, it is, the story itself was more enjoyable from a game aspect. Like, it was less hidden stuff and more just, here's some story. And I
here you go. Yeah.
I was like, that's what I wanted from a, fully developed FNAF game, was basically how I put it. So, it was much better. It was definitely better. I enjoyed it. It was
good. That's fantastic.
Had a good time.
Yeah.
You know what the other dinger is? I'm just going to say.
Yes.
And this is from, again, I'm going to look it up real quick. I have it up. Our last episode was episode 47. And it was August of 2022. Or no, sorry, June of 2022. Yeah. And I still hadn't beaten Final Fantasy VII Reunion.
That's right.
Remake. And I have beaten it, and I don't have any of my notes. I took a shit ton of notes when I did because it was so goddamn crazy how it ends.
I will say I know how it ends.
Okay.
And that was, I was like, that's
I think
awesome.
That might be my part of the episode where you talk about Mortal Kombat. You get Mortal Kombat,
awesome.
Then I'll talk about Final Fantasy VII Remake. I will say my overall thoughts on the game was, I'm pretty sure I was pretty adamant about this one. We were talking about it live, and I haven't played it in a while, and I still feel very strongly this way. The fighting gameplay was phenomenal. Phenomenal nice. Fighting gameplay.
Yeah.
The story, start and end, was really good and interesting, and I loved it. The middle of this game was absolutely stretched out, thinner than your goddamn gum that you pull out of your mouth and stretch and do the little twirl thing with.
Yeah,
like, it was so, I mean, I know I talked about it, but, like, there was a fucking hour of, like, hide-and-go-seek with NPCs.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? What is happening? But, yeah, so the core of the game was a lot of fun and very good.
Yeah.
There was a lot of JRPG nonsense, though, that I couldn't.
That's tough. Yeah, that's definitely... Do you think it's a case where it's almost like made for the fans of the original game, where it's just like, all right, we know you like that game, so here's an expanded version of what you've already played, and it's kind of like more time with these characters?
No, because I think I'm still in the second one. I do consider myself a fan. Like, even though I didn't finish the original in 1995 or whatever.
Yeah.
Thanks to Kingdom Hearts, I've always liked Cloud and the Final Fantasy VII team and all that. And I was totally all for... I remember, I was like, oh, they want to release three different parts because they're going to focus on three different parts of the game. And I was all for that. And there was a lot of story that just wasn't interesting, like, to say that.
Right.
Things that happen at the end of the game that are literally game-changing, which is awesome, you can argue, oh, well, that's why things are different. But it's like, that wasn't necessary for the things that were different. Like, the things that were different,
I like that.
Just, like, I could imagine, I can imagine what Cloud does with his free time at the end of the day. I don't need to physically do it, kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. It's definitely,
It felt like a lot of literal fatty fluff in there.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But I'm hopeful that because of how it ends, like, I don't see there room for fluff in the future, is basically what I'm trying to say.
I'm excited to talk about, because I think especially with everything I know and everything I know about the end of the remake was like, it justified why the remake in a way that I was like,
For sure.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah,
like, it's it's pretty badass. I was like, that's pretty awesome to see that they're, and it's definitely like, yeah, I'm really curious to see what they're doing. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I just
want to play it eventually.
I just think the middle, it didn't need to be. It was like 80 hours. It was like 68 hours.
That's a lot.
I would have paid full price, and it could have been half that. Like, you didn't need to make that long of a game, and I didn't even 100% it. I think Anj 100%ed it. Like,
I think she can't remember if it's this one she talked about.
I think she platinumed it.
I believe so. Was it another one where it was like you had to play it in a, or was it Kingdom Hearts 3 where it's like you had to play it again in a certain mode? It was something like that where it was like,
it's always like, do this difficulty, do that.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Which is why, speaking for Anj, it's like, honestly, it's been a while since we've done that, so it's just how it is for the show.
But
have they announced anything about my only criticism so far is like I can't marry Tifa or Aerith in real life. That's a really fucked up thing that they did. I don't appreciate that at all. That might be an
off-air conversation about your mental health, but that's neither here nor there.
That's fine. It's quickly deteriorating, I will say.
I think that's my dingers. I don't know. I'm sure there's something else that I can't think of.
Yeah, this is a good format, because I think this does get a few things out of the way. Where, not that I don't want to elaborate on more, but
I also don't care.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, get these fuckers out of here. I gotta launch them out. Metroid Fusion. I played that on the Game Boy Advance emulator thing on Nintendo Switch Online. It was basically, this was the, so there's Super Metroid in 1992. This one was 2003, and it was the next 2D game in the Metroid series, where it released the same day as Metroid Prime on the GameCube. That was the first person shooter version. Not version, but standalone game. Where basically they had like, all right, on the Game Boy Advance, Metroid Fusion is the sequel to Super Metroid with all of its 2D glory, all that kind of stuff. Then Metroid Prime is on GameCube, that's the shooter. That's doing its own thing. That eventually gets two sequels, 2 and 3. 3 is on the Wii. 4 is supposedly in development, but got canceled at one point and restarted. It was like one of those things where
that was announced. We have talked about that on this podcast.
we covered it. Yeah,
we definitely talked about it.
So, just make that distinction. So they have that going, and in the interim, they then had Metroid Dread, which I've talked about in the podcast. That was the next 2D Metroid since Fusion. That was basically like almost like 14 years, like something crazy. Like that. It was a really long time between those two games. So I played Metroid Fusion. That game rips. It's fucking awesome. If you liked like any other Metroid stuff, this thing is like, I never had a chance to finish it because I played it on the Game Boy Advance for a friend's copy, and it was tough getting through it at the time. But having the ability to, one, save anywhere in the game and rewind and just look stuff up on YouTube made that game so much easier. I'm a very lazy person. I don't have time to figure out puzzles. But I will say the game absolutely rules. The soundtrack is fucking awesome. It's like really synthy, weird, atmospheric, and like creepy. It's a good Halloween game. If people are thinking like, oh, I want something spooky for October, but not, you know, particularly scary, I think this is a really good fit for it, because it has a really good mood, really good atmosphere, where it's just like, it feels like you're playing Alien or something just claustrophobic and weird on this like spaceship. There was a boss that I knew I was gonna come up to, and I was like, all right, let's go, motherfucker, I'm gonna kick your ass. As soon as I got to it, he still freaked my shit out. He's so scary looking. He looks like an old man spider with a mustache. It's creepy as fuck. I hated him. But rest of the game rules. That game, so much fun. Highly recommend. Loved Metroid Fusion. One more dinger for me was, I don't know if I talked about it on podcasts. I don't know if I did. But I did play in the interim from our last episode, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, the first ever Kirby 3D game. All the rest of them were 2D until this one, and they fucking knocked it out of the park. It is amazing. I loved it. It's so anime. It is like to the nth degree. It's basically Kirby in The Last of Us. I'm not even kidding about that. He is in a dystopian world. Just everything is like crumbling. He's driving through after he absorbed a car, and it's like this anime opening theme. It's like doo 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 doo. It's just like him driving through, just happy and just kind of like just hanging out and just like happy to see everyone. And it's about him rescuing all the Waddle Dees, all that kind of stuff. And my favorite part is the fact that like the way the game opens is there's just a weird vortex that opens in his world, and he's like, huh, that's weird. And then he immediately is just like, let's fucking go. And he jumps on his star and like pretty much flies like to investigate, gets sucked in, and then he just has to go on this adventure. There's a lot of stuff happens in between, but to sell people on the game, you basically, by the end of it, you become like, Kirby does like a fucking Kamehameha against the boss, the final boss. It's like the most anime like shit I've seen. Like, he becomes God and just destroys this thing. It's still Kirby, and it's still like, hey, like he's just so happy about like everything, and he's just so cute. He's so adorable. You just want to like hug him. My favorite anecdote about the game is the developers were talking about how Kirby doesn't really get hurt in the game, because it would be like, if you know, he'll just be like, hmm, like he'll just get tired and like fall over or something like that, or like even if he does fall off a ledge, it's never really like shown to be like hurt. And they talk about how they don't put him in too dangerous of situations, because they're like, because he's so cute, we don't want to like stress him out. I'm like, you know what, I like that. That's a good way to look. I think me too. That's how I feel. I don't want people to put me in stressful situations, because I'm pretty cute. So I relate a lot to Kirby. But yes, 100% super worth it. Really fun. If you liked Super Mario Odyssey, I don't know if it's the exact same team, but it's definitely the same vibe. It's them kind of doing like, all right, like how do we bring 3D to Kirby and really like reinvent his series and update it for like modern aesthetics. So Metroid Fusion, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, 9 thumbs up.
9 another Simpsons Brandon reference. Thumbs up. Yeah. Brandon seal of approval.
Yeah. Ding.
All right. Good I think stuff. That does it for our first episode back.
Yeah, we're so back.
We're
so gone now.
Back. Episode 48, man.
Damn. We're 2 away from 50. What are we going to do?
I mean, we gotta see if
that's going to be the October. that's November. I mean, no, well, if you made it to the end, this is when you get, like, the post-credits scene. This is when, like, we reveal, we've been recording this episodes, we've been banking them since June. We're actually going to do, like Christopher Nolan, we're going to actually release episodes we have been recording, and it's going to be from backwards. It's going to be from September 2023. Going backwards, you can see the progression of us slowly going more insane.
No, thank you.
That would be really tough. Yeah, but so I think you made a good point, though. We're so back, but now we're so sleepy. We got to get some rest. The Brew Boys, we are running low. We're running on fumes. We got it. Yeah. We, well, I don't remember The Sound of Music. I was trying to remember the So Long, Farewell. That's it. Thank you. Anyway, so how do we do this?
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Caffeine Co-op. My name is Zach.
And I'm Brandon.
And you can find us on Twitter. Everything's in the description below. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your wife, tell your husband, tell your dog, tell your girlfriend, tell your boyfriend, tell your brother, tell your sister. We're back.
We're so back.